The Trader Cobb Crypto Show, talking business in blockchain.
G'day everybody, welcome to the Trader Cobb Crypto Show. Today, I've got good friend of the show, Mike Goldman. Welcome back to the show, mate.
G'day, mate. Great to be back here. Look at you go. All firing and all cylinders as usual.
Mate, I'm really excited to talk to you about your most recent adventure. So Mike's just got back from doing a charity event for the Charlie Teo Foundation.
Yes, cancer. Like it's the Mongol Rally.
So tell us about the foundation, what you did, and why on earth you would do what you did. When you explain it, it'll make sense.
Okay. it will make absolutely no sense to you whatsoever because I drove a crappy little car 15,000 kilometers from London to Mongolia as a part of something called the Mongol Rally. And it's not actually a race. It's just a competition to see if you can actually make it to the end in a crap car. And we made it to the end, unbelievably, and had an amazing time doing it. There were car crashes and there was arrests and there was drunken crazy times. Yeah. But we did it all in the name of charity, the Charlie Teo Foundation. The reason why we chose Charlie Teo to do this was because we've lost friends and family in the past because of brain cancer. And we found that there really needs to be some awareness raised in Australia and around the world about the fact that things haven't really changed for a long, long time with brain cancer. Like the technology is there to do the research, but there's just not the funding compared to other cancers like, breast cancer, which, has so much funding and a huge profile because it's certain celebrities involved. And so we've just been doing everything we can to make sure that people know about the great work that Charlie Teo does and his new foundation and the research that they're actually about to put into place. And also the work that they do with the families as well, because there's a big support network around the foundation where they help families and friends affected.
Well, I recall the first time I saw Charlie Teo speak was at a Waratahs event. I went to a Waratahs game a few years ago and it was in the, there was a three-course dinner, that sort of thing where they put it on and, you go along and it's a big hoo-ha and ex-players talk and all that sort of stuff. And Charlie Teo got up and the thing that really moved me, and this is really good to take out of this for the crypto people that are sitting there sort of struggling and feeling really bad about themselves right now, a bit of perspective that's really important is this. He said that brain cancer is something that when you get it, it seems to have a pretty low survival rate. He said it's almost a death sentence.
Yeah.
But what he did say as well is the amazing hope that people have that are his patients. It's unlikely that they're going to come back from it, but they still believe and they still fight. And it's taught him a huge amount about the human spirit. And I think that we're big on perspective, right? I talk about perspective all the time. This gives you some perspective on just how good we've got it right now because this sort of stuff can turn your life around. But he was so passionate about what he does, and hence why we got you on the show to talk about it, because I want to support a great cause. Tell me, do they have a crypto wallet where people can donate yet? Are we working on that or
yes,
what?
Yes, we do, as a matter of fact.
Yes!
Charlie Teo Foundation has a crypto wallet, or of course you can go to our own page, which actually has the crypto wallet address on there.
Oh, great, you do? You've got one?
Yes.
Oh, stoked.
Oh, how easy is it to get a crypto wallet together now?
Me.
You can just do it on an app.
You mean to tell me?
Well, by the time this gets released, I'll have a crypto wallet. So all you do is go to everydayhero.com.au/MongolRallyMen. And thank you to all the people who donated because it's a great cause.
Absolutely. So let's get into the fun stuff, right?
Yes.
So you drove, what did you drive?
So we drove a Toyota Yaris that we bought for $800. And
did you haggle?
It had no air conditioning. And, we didn't need to. It was actually really cheap.
Yeah.
And something which is really silly as well, there's so many silly things about this whole idea. None of us, Henrik, Sam, myself, knew nothing about cars. We drove around for 2 weeks with what we thought was a catalytic converter that was just falling apart inside the gearbox or wherever the fuck it comes from, and it was actually the muffler had fallen off, which so we had to get that welded on. But the other thing that was bad was we had a Toyota Yaris that was a right-hand drive that we bought in London. And the rest of the way we were going, everything is left-hand drive. So we're driving on the right side of the road And it was the passenger's job to look around the trucks to see if there were any cars coming. And it's like, yep, no, yep, yep. And you, so you're sort of like driving blind before you go to overtake.
So it really is like a rally because you've got to have a co-pilot.
Yeah. And it was also a rally in parts of Russia and Mongolia where the roads are just a mess. And there's potholes everywhere. That, like, some places there are no roads. There's just dirt tracks. And you look to your left and right, like 30 kilometers each way, and you just see, you know, just all these dirt tracks going up all different directions, and you're just following the GPS.
Wow.
And you see a truck down that way, and you see a four-wheel drive down that way, and they're all going in the same direction towards Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia. And
but it's not like a road.
Yeah, sometimes you can drive at 50 k's an hour. Sometimes you have to drive at like 20 k's an hour, and you get frustrated after driving for 10 hours, and you go, oh, fuck it, I'm going to put my foot down. And then you'd hit a massive speed hump, and like I dented in the radiator, the front bumper bar fell off.
Wake the boys up.
Did some horrible damage, but yeah, wake the boys up. Actually, I fell asleep in the back seat, which was like business class.
Yeah,
because you'd lie on the bags and have a sleep. And it started to rain. And in Mongolia, if you're driving near a hill, there can be a flash flood because the roads aren't really well made. And you know, people have died. And I'm asleep in the back seat, and the guys came to a flash flood, and they thought, oh, we can drive through this. I can still sort of see the road. And Henrik videoed it, and you can see it on our Instagram page, Mongol Rally Men. And I was asleep. Like, so these guys were risking my life while I was asleep in the back seat. And they said they felt the car start to sort of...
Aquaplane.
Slide.
Oh, God. Did you trust so your co-pilots? Dangerous.
Absolutely not.
Did you trust them even less now?
Never did, never will. So, but we tried to be careful where we could. And they seemed to think I was the worst driver, but I think we all had our own opinions about that. Maybe because I did get the Toyota Yaris up to 177 kilometers an hour.
Is that I didn't even know it was possible.
I think that's probably a record for Toyota Yaris. But, you know, we swear by that car. There were people who spent up to $10,000, $15,000 on, like, a Panda. You heard of a car called a Panda?
The square box thing?
Yeah. We knew some Italian guys, and they fully rebuilt the transmission, and they put Recaro seats in there, and they put this proper, you know, new suspension in to make it even better. And they still had problems, but we spent no money.
And you're
we only had that crappy little thin spare tire that you get. When you buy the car. People had like four spare tires in the roof, like five extra gas tanks. We had nothing, and we still got to the end. And there's people who didn't make it to the end who'd spent all that money as well. So,
It's not like you can spend what you want to spend rather than sort of spending, I guess, you know, there's the shitbox rally here in Australia where you can only spend, I think it's $1,000 or something like that.
But we've got all these great roads here, and you know, you can stop every 50 k's and fill up. And
we've got kangaroos though. So what are some of the hurdles that you've got in Mongolia? You went from London to how many countries did you go through to get there? I mean, a lot of Russia, right?
In London, there's a lot of British people crossing a road. That's pretty dangerous. But we didn't hit any of them, luckily. But in Mongolia and Russia, parts of Russia, it can be dangerous. There's like lots of like bears, like wild horses, crazy eagles everywhere.
Crazy
didn't get
eagles.
Attacked by an eagle, but I did get a photo of one. But potholes are probably one of the main things, and really bad food.
Oh, really?
It was, like, horrible Mongolian food's not fun.
Drink horse milk or something like
that? They love horse milk in Mongolia. I do not know why.
Did you try some?
I'm not sure what the thing is with their horse milk.
Did you try it?
Yeah, I did. It tastes like piss. It's disgusting.
Tastes like what you think horse milk might taste like.
I don't recommend it. This is not good at all. No.
Right. Well, how long did it take you to get through the journey? Obviously, this is all... Okay, so just to rehash, this is all for the Charlie Teo Foundation, right? This is all there to raise money and awareness for brain cancer through this foundation. If you haven't already, guys, go and check out the Charlie Teo Foundation.
We'll find out
more in a minute about where to find more about that. But how long's the journey?
Well, some people just... We'll drive for like 10, 15 hours a day and get there in about 3 weeks. But we, you know, found a nice place that we wanted to stop in for a couple of days, you know, and hang out. Like Kiev was amazing. Such an incredible city. Yeah. And Lviv as well in Ukraine. Ukraine?
Don't ask me. You're the one that went there.
Yeah, Ukraine. Is it Ukraine? Why am I thinking? Yeah, it's Ukraine, wasn't it? Sorry, I just had a brain fart for some reason.
That's okay.
Absolutely incredible. Had the most amazing time there. Such cool cities. But the rest of the time, we just drove for like, you know, 10 hours at a time, and like every second day.
And tedious, right?
Yeah, yeah. But people are still doing the rally right now. Like they're taking 6 months to do it. So it's just a challenge to see if you can get to the end.
Wow. And do you, I mean, when you get to the end, is there anything at the end or is it just an X marks the spot? You've made it to the end. The ribbon's already fallen over.
They have this
flying.
Huge sign there and this platform you drive the car up onto.
You get your
and
photo
it's like, yay, you get a photo and then they put the car on a train and ship it back.
Wow. Oh, so what did you do with the car? Did you have like some ceremony and blow the thing up or?
Well, some people were wrecking their cars and like there's one guy there, he was smashing his car. It was a Toyota Yaris as well. He's smashing it with a crowbar. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing that for? This car like kept you safe.
It represents something.
15,000 kilometers and you're smashing the poor thing. Like I feel like our car has a soul.
Yeah.
We called it Rosie. And you know, we were being gentle with it and trying to make sure that we didn't wreck it and we could get it to the end. And it did. So we're going to keep it.
Now, you've got a really cool story about somebody you met in crypto. Was it in Russia?
Yes.
Okay, introduce us to...
Okay.
Trying to keep it as crypto as we can. Of course, we're doing this show to help raise awareness for brain cancer, the Charlatan Foundation, and what you're doing. But let's talk to us through this amazing story.
I met this amazing Russian man who was... He says he had one of the first ICOs in Australia, which is called Time, and his organization is called Chronobank. He came up to us on the rooftop of the Ritz-Carlton in Moscow.
So you're definitely slumming it.
And yeah. Well, we weren't staying there. We were staying in an Airbnb, but we thought, let's go to the most expensive hotel and just check it out because there's this amazing rooftop area overlooking the Kremlin.
Yeah, wow.
And like one drink there was like $40 or something ridiculous. So that's all we had until we met this guy and he bought us drinks. He was lovely and pulled out his credit card straight away when we said that we were raising money for brain cancer research. I think he had someone in the family that might have been affected by it. And donated $1,000 straight away, which was really amazing. His name's Sergey, but he's a top bloke and he's a trailblazer in the crypto world. And his crypto called Time is another way to get paid for your time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, so you met him on the rooftop. What is it, the Ritz-Carlton?
The Ritz-Carlton, yeah. It's like one of the most expensive hotels in Russia. And he wasn't, I don't know how they even let us in.
He wasn't doing the route. That was just a complete... He heard the Australian accent.
He came up to us and goes, hey, you Australian, I hear the accent. And I go, yeah, g'day, mate, we're from Bondi. And he goes, oh, I'm from Campbelltown. So he lives in Campbelltown half the year and the rest of the time he lives over in Russia.
Wow. Yeah. I know, Mike. He told me this story, and I thought it was a pretty cool story. But you've also got some other amazing stories. So you got arrested? Who got arrested?
Well, we were actually Sam went over double yellow lines, and like you're driving for 100 kilometers or 200 kilometers, you don't see a town or anything like that, and then all of a sudden there's a cop with a little tiny handycam hiding behind a tree,
like in Queensland.
Yeah, and there's like a whole road train of trucks, and there's no cars coming the other way. I mean, you're driving 15,000 kilometers, of course you're going to overtake.
Yeah,
and so they claim that you got to pay the fine straight away, and they want $100, and you end up paying like $5.
Yeah, right.
And they end up letting you go. But if you pay the $100, you leave straight away. But if you hang out for an hour or two and sort of under arrest,
get them down.
You eventually you get your you get to leave.
So you're arrested and you bribed the arresting officer.
Yes, we did. But that happened in a few places along the way, and that's just the way things go in a lot of those countries. I guess it is. Actually, Ukraine, they had a big. A firing of a lot of the police commissioner and other people who were taking a lot of bribes, and they try to stop it so it doesn't happen there so much anymore.
Yeah, right, right. And, I mean, what was the most spectacular part of the journey as far as scenery and just you know, when you travel, especially when you're doing long distance travel, not in an aeroplane, when you're going past things and you're constantly looking at it, there must have been some points in the journey where you're like, oh. Wow.
Just
this is amazing.
My misconceptions about that part of the world.
Ah.
Like Siberia. Like, what would you think Siberia is like? I just thought it was like gulags and, you know, minus 40 degrees and it's going to be a horrible place. But no, it's 26, 27 degrees in summer and beautiful like lakes and rivers and beautiful mountains and like wild horses everywhere. It was most amazing countryside I've ever seen.
And is this where Putin walks around with his shirt off on the back of a horse fly fishing?
That's where Putin wrestles bears and hangs out on holidays.
Did you see any bears?
No, we didn't see any bears, but there's billboards of Putin with Russian writing, which we translated. And it was basically a photo of him looking really good. And the writing said, we plan to build infrastructure and we are going to do this for this area, which I guess is his propaganda kind of way of saying,
carrot, hey, dangling the carrot, yeah, saying, be good, we'll do good things.
Behave yourself. We're going to do the right thing. But I'll tell you what, you know, Russia is a very poor country.
Yeah, okay.
And like you go to St. Petersburg or Moscow and they're beautiful areas and people have got money and, you know, well-paying jobs. But those regional areas, forget it. There's no cash there whatsoever. And you also meet the people and the way they live and how much things cost. And, you know, you think, well, it's not the picture that's painted in the West of what Russia is. And there's about 30 or 40 different territories in the Russian Federation that are self-governed. And their republics are there as well. So it's not like it's like 52 states of America making all this GDP and like paying taxes. It's not like that at all. So
yeah, wow.
I think that's why the Russians, sort of, or Putin puts on this big front about, you know, they're having war games at the moment as well, just to sort of, you know, protect
pull everyone
the country,
in line.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that sort of setup, I mean, obviously there's, with that sort of, I guess, broken, I mean, this is going to sound terrible. Mm. It's not meant to sound terrible, but, you know, this sort of broken Russia, broken up into different chunks is what I mean. Did you find any violent areas? Was it anywhere that people were trying to fight, were angry?
Actually, I was warned by my friends who work for the Mongolian TV networks. We got on Mongolian TV.
I saw that.
It was so cool. That was one of the highlights, actually. And they said, just stay away from the Mongolian dudes when they're drunk because they love to fight.
Get all Genghis Khan.
Yeah, they get all Genghis Khan on your ass. So it's best to just sort of, you see someone yelling out at you, just don't look at them and just keep walking. But I mean, we went out most nights, you know, all through Russia and, you know, all through the Ukraine and Mongolia. And generally, people are really nice. I mean, in today's world where you hear, you know, news travels fast.
Yeah.
You'll hear about the worst things happening everywhere. And so you're a bit paranoid about that kind of stuff. But we met nothing but lovely people wanting to help us out. Like when the muffler fell off the car, like some guy came straight up to us, didn't even speak English, and just sort of hand signaled to follow him to a garage. The first one couldn't see us. He drove us to another one and a guy welded it on for $5. You know, here you go to a muffler place, they'll probably charge you $1,500 to put a new one on.
Yeah, well, that's the difference, isn't it? I mean, that's the same with it. Generally everywhere you go, especially if you go outside of the major cities, you know, like London is in England, New York is in America, you know, Sydney's, it's not really Australia, but it's got that vibe. The further away you get, the more friendly people become and the more helpful people become. So just quickly, I mean, what was the highlight?
The highlight was getting on Mongolian television, and I was recording these little episodes that you can see on our Mongol Rallymen Facebook page.
Got to watch them too, guys. They're actually really funny and really good. And you'll see the tracksuits. You'll know what I'm talking about when you watch it.
Yeah,
watch the tracksuits.
Ridiculous fake Gucci tracksuits. And that was just $60 or something on eBay. That's probably going to get me in trouble with the law. But anyway, so we got on Mongolian television. And when I was putting these episodes on Facebook, I had to take one down because I was using the Russian national anthem as our theme song, and that's copyrighted music. So I made my own Mongolian song on GarageBand. It's like, "Eh, Mongolia," and I'm just reading words off Google that are Mongolian for bread, sky, chicken, whatever. And the funniest thing was actually seeing that song with our footage
on
being played
news.
On national Mongolian, like, primetime television.
And it's just like bread, chicken,
milk. I was on the floor just laughing my head off, and the really serious Mongolian presenter, I'm saying, "Here it is."
I loved your voiceover of the show. That you did. You got to watch this. You did the voiceovers. They're talking on the news, and you're doing the voiceover. That's it. There's a brilliant piece of content. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was cool.
I enjoyed the whole trip. Actually, I followed it on Instagram. I followed cool. all your little bits and pieces. I really, really enjoyed it. And look, the bottom line is, as much as it was a funny thing to do, it was an interesting thing to do, and a wonderful experience for you and the boys. Mm. It was. For one reason, and that was to raise money and awareness for the Charlie Teo Foundation. So, Mike, where can people find out more information about the Charlie Teo Foundation? Where can they donate to your cause, that cause, crypto? Like, tell people how to get involved. Yeah. I want people to be involved and back this project because the guy is a legend, for one. He's an incredibly intelligent, articulate, humble, and passionate person. He saves, like, this guy, he goes to work and he tries to save lives.
Yeah, every day of his
life.
It's
so wonderful, and I want to see that supported. So we got guys out there that have got crypto. You know what's up. You've got money. Don't scrounge. put it together. Where do they do that?
All you got to do is go to our Facebook page, probably one of the places to find it, because there's a fair few places. I mean, you can click on the Instagram link. You can click on the Instagram link. You can click on the Facebook page. Or if you just go to the Charlie Tier Foundation fundraiser page that we set up, gofundme.com.au/Mongol Rally Men. But the Bitcoin wallet, if you want to donate some money, that is actually on the Facebook page as well. And you can also get that straight from the Charlie Tier Foundation website.
Excellent. And also, don't forget, you got to go across and watch the Mike Goldman on the mic. Has his own show and a great podcast and does fantastic things. So go across and listen to that as well. Get yourself subscribed and we'll speak again very soon. Michael Goldman, thank you so much for your time. And look, I want to see the Charlie Tio Foundation blow up from here. They're doing great things and we support that sort of stuff. So thanks very much for your time. And what an amazing story, or multiple stories.
There's so many.
It's wonderful having you.
Craig Cobb, you're a legend. Thanks, mate.
Guys, have a good one. Bye for now.
The Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast is hosted by Craig Cobb. All Trader Cobb courses, products, and tools can be found at tradercobb.com, because experience matters.